Clay asks Gordon, have you ever been involved in the slow draining of life force that is being a passenger in a car where someone is taking a phone call on the hands-free Bluetooth? The hello, can you hear me? Oh, wait, I think I heard something. Hello? You got me? Okay, sorry. Hello? You know, I've never been...
I tell you, I can't hear you.
I don't know that I've ever been a passenger in a car when someone is doing that, but I've been the driver in the car when that's going on.
Yes.
I hate automotive Bluetooth conversations. I'd rather just not talk in the car.
There's always 20 seconds of awkwardness before you both establish.
It's bumper cars, trying to get into a rhythm with them. It's always... And to me, I don't know that any car maker has successfully perfected the Bluetooth speaker sound. It is always way too hollow.
Yeah.
Person sounds way too far away.
Yep.
It's the worst voice experience you can have, phone call wise.
Yeah, you might be right. I still think it's a pretty cool invention, though. I still use it a lot.
Oh no,
doesn't
do
bother
you?
Me that much.
You yeah. talk to people on the Bluetooth?
Of course I do.
I use it all the time. I don't love it. I use it all the time, but whenever mine isn't working and I have to hold the phone up to my ear as I drive, I feel like it's 1999 or something.
It feels kind of ancient to be holding the phone up to your ear. Well, this is what I do. This may be crazy, but I actually have a headset that I will wear if I have to talk on the phone in the car.
Really?
I will put on the headset and plug it into my phone.
Wow.
So is it like noise canceling? Can you not hear any ambient noise then?
It's not even noise canceling.
It's only more dangerous.
It's only a one-ear headset.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty low-tech stuff. But at least it plugs right into the phone, and I can hear them better, and they can hear me better.
Interesting.
Like, I will just opt out of a phone conversation. If somebody calls me and they're on their Bluetooth, I just say, hey, look, call me back sometime when you're not in the car. because I'm not going to fight through this.
The things he decides to feel strongly about, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
The more I listen.
Human rights, I don't have any real strong feelings about that. But the Bluetooth in the car, that bugs me. Yeah, exactly.
Courage.
Sometimes you got to take
the line
a stand.
Somewhere. Yeah.
All right. I proposed this to you guys because I was reading a thing that where people were posting the hardest hypotheticals they've debated with their friends. And I saw this one and I ran it by you guys, and we ended up talking for 5 minutes on this morning. We said, maybe we should do this in the corner. And the hypothetical was, would you rather have the ability to effortlessly run at 100 miles per hour or fly at 10 miles per hour?
I love this.
So I immediately said fly, because I think that's a cooler ability. And I think that running at 100 miles per hour is dangerous. You're going to run into something. There'll be a dog that'll cross in front of your path. You could trip over something.
Plantar fasciitis would act up.
Yeah, you don't think that would flare up on you?
Can I get a clarification, though?
Hey, guys. Yeah.
Hi, Clara.
Right here.
Does this mean when you start to run, you are immediately at 100 miles an hour, or you have the ability to run whatever speed you want between 1 and 100?
I think that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And I'm going to rule that you can run between 1 and 100.
Okay.
Because if it's just only run at 100 miles an hour...
That's stupid.
That's stupid. You're not going to choose that. But if you can modulate your speed, then heck yeah, man, you'd win every 100-yard dash. You
yes.
only have to run 30 miles an hour to win that.
I know everybody wants to fly, but this is a no-brainer for me. Give me the running up to 100 miles an hour. I would love that $6 million man stuff.
Yeah. I know, but and if you were able to fly at 10 miles an hour, it's like a cool superhuman trick, but everyone would be wondering, boy, Deucey's wearing a cape and he's flying, but he's so slow.
Yeah, 10 miles an hour.
It would be appropriate for me.
Arms and legs are kind of drooping as he's yeah. flying because he can't yeah. hold them up that long.
It would be appropriate for me, though, to only be able to fly at 10 miles per hour.
You know what? Seriously, that's not fast enough for the cape to even flap in the wind.
I know it.
takes me like 3.5 hours to fly to work from Carrollton every day.
Right.
I mean, it's as the crow flies, so you're getting a little bit of time back there, but still, it's only 10 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's to me, it's easy. It's the running. Because
I would have a hard time resisting that gift of flight.
I know. That's the thing humans have dreamed about since the beginning of humanity, to be able to fly like a bird.
And you could
but
go
at
as
10
high.
Miles an hour, you'd be having to, I mean, heck, you'd be making conversation with people walking on sidewalks at that point.
And you could go as high as you could breathe, right?
Yeah, right.
So you get a cool view from up there.
Yeah.
Or as weirdly low, so you could just be hovering barely.
Yeah, 3 inches off the ground. As your friend's walking beside you on the sidewalk, you're heading to a restaurant, and you're just flying right along the ground.
Yeah, compared to walking speed, 10's pretty fast.
Right.
You know? So,
right.
So you're out at White Rock for your jog, and you're just barely hovering above the ground.
Your friends,
10 miles an hour.
Your friends would be saying, I hate going to dinner with Mike because he's always flaunting the flying thing, exactly. Hovering next to us as we walk into the restaurant.
But which do you choose?
For me, it's running because I think, number one, you could monetize the running thing more.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, you'd win every race you entered. You could monetize the flying thing, but in a circus freak show way. Come yeah. see the incredible flying man.
The incredibly flying deuce.
The slowest flying man in the world.
I would go with the flight. I would. The sportscast television bits would just be too hard to resist.
I think there. I would go with the flight as well. I think that if you're running, what is the running speed you're really going to be topping out at? You wouldn't feel comfortable going more than 30 miles an hour.
No. Well, not certainly not 100. Now, Steve Austin topped out at 60. And I could see running 40 to 50 and being comfortable. But 100, you'd have to be on the Bonneville Salt Flats to feel comfortable running 100.
But where are you going to run at 50 miles an hour? On a sidewalk? You're going to trust somebody's not going to open a door from a business or...
No, Central Expressway.
You're not going to be out on the road.
I'd freak people out keeping up with all the cars on Central.
I just don't think there's a lot of application for running that fast unless it's in a competition.
But I would like to have that ability in case, like, I'm out to dinner and somebody jumps out to mug me and I just turn and I accelerate to 100 miles an hour.
Sure.
Or you see an old lady have her purse snatched and you can chase the guy down.
And split the money with him?
Yeah.
Okay, how about this one? Would you rather have to pay for everything that you buy in pennies all the time for the rest of your life? So there's no credit card purchases anymore or anything like that. Or have to use a pogo stick as your only method of transportation. So this includes when you want to get up off your couch to go refill your drink. You have to grab the pogo stick, get on it, hop into the kitchen, lean it up against the countertop, get your drink. And then how do you get back with your drink to the couch when you're pogo sticking? Is that liquid flying everywhere?
I should probably say pogo stick because it would help me lose the weight that I so desperately need to lose.
Oh,
but,
right.
It's not fun playing with you.
But I think the pennies thing ultimately would be less disruptive.
Yes.
I mean, it would be a pain. There's no doubt about it. But
I disagree with you. How are you going to make your house payment in pennies? You've got to find some bank that will take your payment.
What's a house payment?
Whoa.
See,
that is TV money.
TV guys buy their homes with cash.
Yeah, they just go
we should know
outright.
That.
Or they live within their means, one of the two.
There
anyway.
You go. You know what, Mike, though? If you took the...
Your means just happen to be spectacular. But anyway.
Jeez.
I think you're right. I think I would take the pennies thing. Because, Mike, can you imagine having to walk your daughter down the aisle, but you're on a pogo stick at her wedding?
And you can't explain it. You can't say, right. Well, I'm on the pogo stick to prevent me from paying the things in pennies.
Right.
No.
Everywhere you go, to walk from the living room to bed, you have to get on the pogo stick? I think that's a bigger beating than the pennies.
And it's an unexplained pogo stick. Yeah.
Constantly injured. It would be bad.
I mean, you're right, Gordo. The penny thing is a
one
beating.
One after another.
The penning thing would be a massive beating, but somehow you would figure it out. You would make friends with a banker who knows the deal and would have to deliver all these pennies to your home every week.
Right.
No one would want to see you coming. No business would want to see you coming.
I think it's almost impossible to do the penny thing.
I think it is, too.
It's but more possible to do the pogo thing.
You think so?
Yeah.
God, that seems pretty impossible, too. So all wait right. a minute. When you get out of the shower, mm-hmm. you have to take the pogo stick into the shower. There's no way.
Okay. Then there's this one, and this is the craziest one I've ever seen. I've never even thought of one like this. Maybe this is a common hypothetical that's been thrown around before, but this guy says that it's the toughest one that made him and his friends think the most. So here's the scenario. Every toilet that you use from here on out becomes sentient. So it can talk, feel emotion, everything. And there's no loophole to avoid that scenario. So the question is, would you rather the toilet be a very willing participant or a very unwilling one? So when you sit down to do your evil on the toilet is either going through an orgasmic-like experience of, oh, yeah, oh, right there. Oh, God, look at that. Look at that. Look at you. Oh, yeah.
God.
So it's either talking to you like that, being all vocal, or it's horrified by what you're doing to it. It's going through the full entire range of emotions of a typical hostage situation. There's fear, distress. It's bargaining with you.
Please don't do this again.
Just don't, man. Come on, please. I'm begging you. I'm begging you.
Gordon takes such delight in a hypothetical.
I'm reluctantly presenting this one. So it's revolted by what you're doing, and it's narrating this the whole time.
I have a question.
You're hearing it cry.
Do you have the option of replacing your toilet after every use?
No.
Because you said after one use, it becomes sentient.
It becomes sentient the moment you
install it,
engage with it.
Oh, okay. The moment you walk in.
And this is every toilet everywhere in the world. So, I mean, like you're traveling, you're at a bar in Ireland, you go in the place, and all of a sudden they start hearing two voices in there, despite the fact that only one person went in.
And what's the other option?
It's either a very willing participant or it's a very unwilling participant.
Oh.
And you have to choose which one of those it is.
Willing. Because it's going to be in a better mood every time. And yes, it's going to talk dirty to you, and you're going to hear things you don't want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
But that's
slam deliciously.
Ooh, that's a big one, isn't it? Oh, yeah. It'd
be the first time I ever heard that.
That would be
whoa.
That would be better comedy than the unwilling, I think.
That's what happens in here.
I think the whatever the like one too.
You choose the willing one.
I'm about spreading happiness, even if it's to a toilet.
Did you know you were going to say that this morning? That phrase?
Somehow I did, yes. 4:15,
oh, yeah.
I knew it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got a blast of air for me. Oh, I like that.
But see, that way you're going to feel good about doing your evil every day.
I don't think so. I think that after like the first...
Ooh. Let's go, Danny.
Oh, now.
Oh, that's too much?
Yes.
It was a drop, first of all.
That was not a drop.
Literally.
We know where the radio line is, and you crossed it.
Yeah, you crossed it there.
Right.
I think after three or four times with the willing one, you're going to get so disgusted by it. Because it's creeping you out by sexualizing everything that you're doing.
See, I think I see it as comedy, and I go in looking forward to hearing what he's going to produce.
You're worried that you can't perform. Suddenly that becomes, a lack of performance.
Please stop talking. Will you please stop talking to me? Oh, yeah. Oh, you want me to shut up, Daddy? Ooh.
Ooh, big man.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you slap the lid a little bit here?
Oh, brother.
All right. So there you go.
All right, you're going to continue this conversation on Free For All tonight?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, Free For All.
10:40, whatever damn time they decide to put us on tonight.
Okay, all right. All right. Be nice.